Between episodes here, I just got a notification. I was talking about the kid that we had a smashing at the skate park the other day, and he just saw my close friend's apology on Instagram and just messaged me. He's like, "It's okay. I was wrong also. Don't blame yourself." But I tell you, I needed humble pie. So in terms of looking after the little guy, I think some of this goes back. You should know this. The history of chivalry and the nobile habitus. I think they called it the Davidic ethic. I don't know why they named it after King David of Israel, but David looked after the weak. I think that when David was running from Saul, he would still look after the local people. He would still fight to keep Israel safe. Because he had this little band of soldiers that followed him around, and sometimes they'd eat the bread from the temple. The temple would give them food. The priest would feed King David the bread that was supposed to sit there for God or something. There's something in English culture about looking after the weak. It goes back to Europe, and the noble habitus were things that were expected of everyone at every class level. The king was supposed to do it, the paupers were supposed to do it, and the king and the paupers all agreed that the king and the paupers were supposed to do it. And I think someone had observed seven things. One of them was hardihood, one of them was frivolity, that you'll, even if you don't have much money, you'll just go treat your friends to things once in a while and act like the money is no problem. Honor. I think loyalty, like you keep your promises. There are several things. And one of them was looking after the meek, looking after the weak. And it's driving me nuts that I failed to do that. But at the same time, I'm having to deal with Taiwan on this issue. And what I told Congress when I spoke on the phone was, this isn't just about me. This is about others. I'm standing up for myself because Taiwan does this to everyone on some level sooner or later. And the other thing is, it's like Taiwan's government is not making a mistake. It's not like you've got some kid that falls down learning to ride a bike and knocks something over. It's not like you're at a skateboard park and you're learning to do something on your skateboard and you fall down, board flies out from under you and goes across the park and hits someone. That's a mistake. Now, maybe there are precautions you can take, practice in a safe area, etc., but it's still a mistake. What Taiwan is doing to me is not a mistake. It's apathy. I write them the letter. Like, I've got the recordings. You said this. I can prove it. You talk to people this way. And the head, the staff, there's no apology. There's no, "Jesse, we're so sorry you went through this. We can't approve you, but we're so sorry you went through this, and so we want to find any way we can to help you. Tell us more about yourself." There was none of that. There was no "we're sorry," there was no "we want to help," there was no "tell us more." Now, there was a suggestion, like they said, "Well, you could try this way." There was some of that, but that was it. Just one suggestion. And there was no listening. There was no, "Tell us your story. Let's gather information. Give us as much as you can about yourself. And then we'll see if there's some way that fits you. Let's do an audit of yourself and your life and see how you'd qualify." There was none of that. So it was a lot that I've said to Congress, and I'll save it for Congress, but it's utterly shameful. It's utterly apathetic. Seriously, if you were at, if someone walked into Walmart, And someone had a picture, a photograph, a large printed photograph, and someone had a tablet. In the tablet, they're playing a video. In the video, they show a conversation with the manager of that Walmart. And in a photograph, they've got the photograph of something related. And they walk into Walmart, they say, the manager mistreated me. The manager here treated me badly. I can prove it. It doesn't matter whether the person's lying or made it up. It doesn't matter. Now, listen to me. It doesn't matter whether the person's lying or made it up. It doesn't matter what the person's asking for. Typically, no matter how those things pan out, the people at Walmart there watching that person walk in and say, I was mistreated, would at least be respectful toward that person, right? Taiwan's government isn't even respectful. So I'm sitting, it's like, that, like, that's the thing that I'm dealing with. And so at the same time that I'm dealing with my attitude problem, I'm also asking myself, how can I then turn around and deal with a matter of disrespect that I have to stand up to? So, you know, it's I can see a difference. I could sit and argue a difference. I could probably argue a difference in court that, you know, you've got, okay, well, in the one case, you've got this situation and then that, and then I was apologetic and then we became friends. In the other situation, the people aren't even apologetic, and I could establish a difference. But boy, it's difficult. Because here I am in one case needing forgiveness because I failed to immediately automatically extend forgiveness. In another situation, I'm dealing with someone else who needs forgiveness and they're not even sorry. I can't go approach Taiwan from a posture of arrogance. I have to respond. I have to stand up to them as a humble person while I'm doing it. Do you understand the dilemma that I'm trying to explain? So I'll tell you, it's... I'm thankful for all of this happening, the incident at the skate park that has me really upset, and, you know, with myself, and also dealing with someone else treating me worse than I treated someone else. I mean, technically it is worse. This is not easy to navigate. And I want this. I like this. This is the whole point of the week. It's right here. People ask, Jesse, why do you live in Taiwan? For this. I want the difficulty because it builds my character. It's this. I mean, in fact, the very awesome man that I was speaking with at Congress, he said, Jesse, I'm curious. I'm dripping and titillating with curiosity. I have to just know why in the world you stay in that nasty place when they treat you and other Americans this way. You know, why do you, and he wasn't claiming that it was true. He was being respectful given my story, but he wanted to know why. I said, because other people that I know in Taiwan have caused me to be a better person. There's so much in Taiwan that's worth saving. There's so much good. Notwithstanding the fact that if you didn't follow the news at all, you'd know that the Taiwan pineapples sure are delicious. Now, other countries have discovered that since China banned the Taiwan pineapples. This is the thing. China banned, you know, Taiwan's doing what Taiwan's doing. And so China banned Taiwan's pineapples. What the? Talk about petty. But I, you know, so everyone's all up in our, no, Japan is my, have you followed, no, that's political. Go follow the Symphony editorial podcast. I've been talking about the evil Taiwan pineapple. No, the thing about Taiwan pineapples, they're sweet. You know how when you slice a pineapple, like the center part, you've got to cut out and throw it away? Not the Taiwanese pineapples. You can eat that thing. They just peel off the outside. And they just slice it up and you eat the whole thing. Your mouth doesn't get chewed up from the acid. It's all equally delicious. See you tomorrow.